For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, October the 28th, 1999. Ministers Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the minister of the evening.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Would you all stand with me in prayer, please? Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. As we come before you now to open your word, Lord God, we open your word, Lord. We just ask that you anoint us, anoint this teaching, Lord God. Anoint the words as they go forth, Lord. Open our hearts that we can receive it, Lord. It'll come forth and bear crop 30, 60, 100 fold. For your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. This afternoon in the question and answer series, we had a question that came in that asked about pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is a testimony of what the Word says that the blood does for me. And I give this to people once we've finished deliverance, and have them read it to the devil. I mean, demons don't like to hear this. I have them read it out loud so the demons can hear them. Particularly if they're being harassed at night, if they wake up in the middle of the night, or if they feel oppressed, or the demons are talking to them and trying to bring them into bondage. I just ask them to read this to the demon. It says, through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Revelations 12:11 says, they that believed on earth overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And they loved not their lives to death. Unfortunately, I left that off. That is, they testified is what the word of God says about the blood of Jesus. And Psalm 702 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who he has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. He says, say so. He said, not think so, but say so. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, all my sins are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. That word redemption means ransom paid in full. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continually cleanses me from all sin. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That word cleanses in the Greek is a continuing tense. Now you notice it's conditional there though. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, then the blood continually cleanses you. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am justified, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. That's a legal term, justified, means you've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven and found not guilty by the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:9 says much more now. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart for God. You know the word saint means holy one. Sanctified means to make holy. Hebrews 13:12 says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, suffered without the gate. And you say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Oh. You're not your own, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which is of God. You are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. And you say, Satan has no place in me, no power over me, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not mine. I reprinted this from Derek Prince. I got permission from Derek Prince in writing to pass this out. I give it to everyone that I take through deliverance. And I tell them, read this to the devil when you come under attack. Because it is your status. It's where you stand. The demons won't like to hear about the blood. And this is what the Word of God says about the blood. Now, the Word says a lot more. But I commit this to memory. I can quote this thing standing on my head in the corner on a dark night. I think it's a valuable instrument to fight the enemy, for people to know that the blood of Jesus is the purchase price of the possession. You were not purchased with corruptible gold or silver, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish. Praise God. And that blood paid for your sins, and that blood brought you into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. To stand holy, sanctified, without sin before the Father. Someone suffered for your sin. Someone suffered and died for your sin. While you were yet a sinner, he suffered and died for you. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, today, I'm going to talk about... I've got so many things here. My subject assigned to me was overcoming bitterness. We said that there were two things that really block deliverance very commonly. One is rejection, and the other is bitterness. With bitterness goes hand in hand rebellion and unforgiveness. Once you take your Bibles, let's read first Webster's definition of bitterness. It comes from the old English word bata, which means to bite. When something is real bitter, it's said to have a bite to it. But the word bitter comes from the old English word to bite. In Hebrew, it comes from to be sharp or pointed. Okay. Webster's definition of bitter, designating or having a sharp or unpleasant taste. Causing, that's the first one. Second, causing or showing sore discomfort or pain. Grievous. Third, characterized by strong feelings of hatred. Now, that's very interesting. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay, chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. And we're all familiar with this. Saul, God sent Saul on a mission to destroy the Amalekites. And he was to put them under the ban and utterly destroy everything. But he didn't destroy everything. He took the best of the sheep and the cattle, and he took the king. And then he went off to Gilgal to make an offering unto God for him. And they just finished this burnt offering when Saul shows up. And he says, I have kept the word of the Lord. And he said, well, if you kept the word of the Lord, what is this lowing of cattle I hear? And what's the king of the Amalekites doing in a cage over there? He said, well, I have utterly destroyed them, but I kept the best of the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord our God. And Saul's reply, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Samuel. Okay, Samuel. Then Samuel said, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. And he went on to say, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. And Saul went on to say, well, I did this because I feared the people. Now, what I want you to look at is that word rebellion there. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Now, if you look that up in Strong's Concordance, the number is 4805. And it is has two definitions, bitter and rebellion. And if you look at the root word, it's mara, which is a root word for bitter. So you understand that if you are rebellious, you will become bitter. And if you're bitter, you will become rebellious. They come from the same word. They're closely related. And so we see rebellion and bitterness are closely related. Now I want you to read I want to read you some verses about rebellion. Let's look first at Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. He's talking about praying, and he says, if I regard iniquity, well, an iniquity, according to Derek Prince, is the definition for iniquity is rebellion and all of its evil consequences. So if I regard rebellion in my heart because something God has told me he doesn't want me to do and I like to do it and I'm going to do it anyway, but I like to do that, Lord. It feels good. Any of y'all ever had that problem? You know, and you get a conviction from the Holy Spirit and you say, but I like that. I like to watch the jigglers on television. You know, it's just not that bad. And I like to watch the girls. You know? And they got such a nice bounce to them. And God convicts you. And you say, boy, it's not that bad. Why, it's not even R-rated. You regard that in your heart. God's not going to hear you. Because he said, don't do that. And you're in rebellion against him. Okay, I can sit here and give you other examples, but that's a very common one. Look at Psalm 68:6. If you want to compare, well, Psalm 66:18, you want a comparison verses, look at Isaiah 59:1. We won't go there right now, but you can. And 1 John 3:2 are comparison verses to that that you can look up that say pretty much the same thing. All right, let's look at Psalm 68:6, which is on the same page there. And he says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Any of y'all feel like you've been in a dry land? Now let's look at this one more here. Let's turn over to Proverbs 17:11. We're still talking about rebellion now. An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, because of this, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Well, where else do we see that word, cruel messenger? That word messenger, that means angel, in case you're interested. It's translated elsewhere as angel. A cruel angel will be sent against him. Well, if you look in Judges, you compare this, you can look at it in Judges 9:23. And there, Jeroboam's youngest son has spoken a curse against Abimelech. And God sent a spirit of ill will, cruel messenger, same Hebrew word, between, and brought discord between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. You can read that. It's a very interesting story about a curse being fulfilled. But God sent an evil angel to bring it to pass. All right, the next place it is mentioned is 1 Samuel 16:14. There it says, God sent a distressing spirit upon Samuel. Evil angels, same word. You in rebellion, expect an evil angel to show up. How about that? Well, we'll go on now. The rebellion is the outward sign of rejection. The Brother Frank Hammond wrote Pigs in the Parlor. And this is his, for Adam A's revelation. I had one copied. Frank gave me copies of this. And so I had one copied so that you could look at it. It's in the back of Pigs in the Parlor. It, again, is copyrighted material. But Frank gave me this copy and doesn't say copyrighted on it, but I'll say that you can't sell it. It came out of the back of Pigs in the Parlor. And you notice, you see this thing up here, it says schizophrenia. I wish it said rejection complex or it said something else. Because when you say schizophrenia, that is a medical term, and it means great for two souls is what it means. But you turn the world off. But I've seen people delivered from schizophrenia. Okay. First is rejection and fear of rejection. These are inward signs that go down into you. There's fear of rejection, fear of rejection, self-rejection. You know, people who are rejected don't like themselves very well. They wish they were someone else. We see this a lot in people who have perverse homosexual spirits. Well, yes. I thought I gave them all to him, sorry. You see this a lot in people who have homosexual spirits. They don't like themselves. They reject themselves. You ever wonder why so many of the people in Hollywood, so many of the writers in Hollywood, so many of the actors in Hollywood are schizophrenic and are homosexual? It's because they become the person they act. That is the Russian school of acting in which when they are assigned a role, they become that person. And they study his life. And they study the mannerisms and they become that person in life. And therefore, they can leave behind this person they don't like very well, and they can become someone else. Rock Hudson, you know, he had the great manly man, but he died of AIDS, and so forth. It's estimated that 85% of the writers on television are homosexual. And they have a fixation on sex. So you wonder why you look at television and you see where their fixation is. All the problems. Okay. These are the inward signs. And over here we have lust and fantasy lust and inferiority and self-accusation. They accuse themselves. And these are the things that go down. You see, all these things go down into you. And over here are the things, and these are the outward things, the things that reach out. And so here we have rebellion, and going down from rebellion is the root of bitterness. Now, rejection is the way great numbers of spirits come in. And this is probably the most useful tool, single tool you will have in deliverance. You should know that graft, and you should be able to, as Frank Hammond says, on a dark night, standing in the corner on your head, you ought to be able to say what is on the little thing on the right hand. That you should know it that well. I wish I knew it that well. I'm afraid I... But I have found that this works. Okay. And there's scripture for it. Now, and so let's go and look at Ezekiel 16. I looked and looked and looked. But where in the world does it say anything about rejection in the Bible? And I got everybody's book I could find over there, and I couldn't really find anybody had any real good scripture for rejection.
Did you say Ezekiel
16? 16. And Ezekiel 16, starting in verse 1, again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Some man calls Jerusalem, the church, to know her abominations, and say, thus says the Lord God to the church, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite,
which is pride, and your mother was a Hittite, which is terror. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor you rubbed with salt, nor swallowed with swelling claws. No eye pitied you to do any of these things to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed or rejected on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood live. And I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful, and your breasts were formed, your hair grew, and you were naked and bare. Let's go back in. He said, I said to you, live. That's the day you got saved. That was the day he chose you before the foundation of the earth. He knew you were going to be saved. Peter says, 1 Peter says, to those chosen before the foundation of the earth by the foreknowledge of God. And so, he said, when I passed by and looked upon you, and it was a time for love. And so I spread my wing over you, or the corner of my garment, and covered your nakedness. And I swore an oath to you, and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. When he came by you, and he covered you with his wing, now this, he adopted you into the family of God. He became your big brother. He adopted you. That's the day you came into salvation, and you were no longer a rejected child. He made a covenant for you. You became his, a blood-coveted child of God. A blood-coveted child of God. Demons think they have a coveted right to you. Frequently you have to tell the demon that the blood of Jesus Christ has annulled their covenant because of covenants made by your ancestors, by oaths sworn by your ancestors. This is a covenant. And they say we got a right because his ancestor coveted. He made an oath in the Masons. Or in the Eastern Star, she made an oath in the Eastern Star. Or they made an oath in the Knights of Columbus. Or any other of these secret organizations. And said, no, that covenant was annulled by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not married to this person. This is a member of the bride of Christ. She's coveted. Or he's coveted. You know, gentlemen, you're a member of the bride of Christ. You're a member of the bride. You're the bride of Christ. You are coveted. You're waiting on the bridegroom. You've been betrothed. You've been coveted to Jesus Christ. You're waiting on the bridegroom to come. It takes a divorce to break it. He has to give you a paper of divorce. Now, he did that to Israel. He gave them a paper of divorce. He has to issue you a paper of divorce before that covenant is no longer binding. It takes a divorce to break that covenant. So you say, Damon, I'm coveted to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a trespasser. Get out of my body. He purchased it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so that's rejection. Now, and so this begins to make more sense. You see, here you find that the whole church was rejected. You're all born rejected, unloved and unwanted. Your nativity was of there's not a person in here who hadn't been rejected. What is rejection? Rejection is twofold. One is one song. It is a, according to Webster's Dictionary, it's the process of being rejected by someone or the process of rejecting someone. Rejection. And so, there's not a person in here who doesn't suffer from rejection that hadn't been rejected by somebody, and you feel it. And someone who hasn't rejected God's law, rejected the voice of God. Now remember, You reject His voice, the Holy Spirit's conviction in your heart. And you don't walk according, but you walk another way. He said in Deuteronomy, if you will obey my voice, if you will heed my voice, but you reject that, and you are, bitterness will come in. Bitterness will come in. Okay. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, the results of bitterness, I want to read a few more scriptures, and then I want to come back to this, because I have something very important to show you there. The results of bitterness are defilement. First, Hebrews 12:15. I could talk 3 hours about the verse in Ezekiel and the covering. I have a tape back there on the covering of God or the wings of God, which goes into that in more detail from another angle. But let's look at this. Hebrews 12:15. Looking, 14 says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in us cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Some people interpret that bitter root as being a person within the church defiling other people. You could interpret that way. I interpret it as a root growing down into you. Just remember this, that bitterness, that the curse of bitterness hits you and pierces you. And then it grows into you like a root. That was the vision God gave me of bitterness. It hit and it just grew in like a dandelion and spread with a big root. And you can chop off the top. But if you don't get the root out, it'll come back. You know that. And you have to get the root. It's the thing that caused the root of bitterness to come in, which is rebellion. And there are things that stop you, like unforgiveness. Okay. It'll interfere with the husband-wife relationship and hinder your prayers. Colossians 3:19. It says here, wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. You notice that husbands are commanded to love their wives. Wives aren't commanded to love their husbands. And it says, don't be bitter towards your wife. Don't be bitter. She spends all my money. She never keeps the house good enough and so forth. And it's fault-finding. It's easy to find fault with someone, you know, particularly if they are in a position that's submitted to you. Man, you can pick it to pieces, being bitter and angry and rebellious. But I'll tell you, 1 Peter says it'll hinder your prayers. It'll hinder your prayers. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at Ephesians 4:31. And do not grieve, starting with 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But be kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. And there we see bitterness again, grieving the Holy Spirit. And if you look at Isaiah 53, I'll read you something that will chill you a little bit. Isaiah 63. And remember that even in Greek, bitterness and rebelliousness are closely associated. Isaiah 63:10. And here we have God has talked about His people verse 10, and what He did for them and so forth, and how He carried them out and redeemed them and bore them and carried them as days of old. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So he turned Himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. You don't want to be bitter, boy. You don't want to be bitter people. You don't want to be rebellious and bitter, because it'll grieve God. It'll interfere with your husband-wife relationship. It'll hinder your prayers. It'll cause you to be defiled. And it'll lead to deception. We go back to James 3:14. We've been through this. We've worked this poor verse to death. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual. That word sensual is soulish or demonic. That, you know, there is no word soulish in the English language. You get one of those big Webster's dictionaries. Try to look up soulish. You won't find it. It's not an English word. It's a German word. It's a Scandinavian word. It's a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word. But it is not. It is not an English word. That word is soulish. It's also translated natural. It says the natural man does not understand the things of God. It says you are raised, said you have a soulish body. It says you have a natural body, a soulish body. It's used about five places, but it means soulish. But where envy and self-seeking can be confusion in every evil thing. Did you know here it says bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition. The wisdom, it is earthly, soulish, demonic. Soulish prayers have demonic power. Psychic, soulish prayers are powered by demons. Right here it says it's got demonic power. Think about that. When you've got your relatives who are praying for you to come back to the true church and burning candles and saying all these prayers, that's got power behind it, people. And you can feel oppressed. And what you do there is you thank God and say, Lord, I thank you for them. Bless them, Lord God. Just bless them. Bring them to salvation. Lord, to know you, remove the deception from their eyes and touch them, Lord God. And bring them to salvation. Just ask God to bless them and to bless their socks off. Now bind all this evil, soulish prayer in the name of Jesus. I bind all these spirits. I'm a saved child of God. I'm under the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't touch me. Lord, bring them to salvation, Lord. It counsels the curses. Hallelujah. Okay. And so, we keep talking about rebellion. I looked up rebellion in the dictionary, and rebellion says one who is a rebel. And so I looked at rebel. It's a person who resists authority control. Now, the abuse of authority produces discouragement, subtleness, moroseness, inferiority, bitterness. In Colossians 3:21, it says, let's look at that. I've looked it up in so many translations now, I'll be paraphrasing, so let's read it. The Colossians says, fathers, do not bring your children to this early. Hallelujah. 3:21, children, obey your parents in all things as well. Fathers, do not provoke your children unless they become discouraged. Now, if you read that in the Amplified, I just read it to you from the Amplified. If you abuse authority, you can produce rebellion and bitterness. Now, let's look at that in Exodus chapter 1, verse 13. And here we're speaking of the taskmasters, the Egyptian taskmasters. The taskmasters the Egyptians placed over the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor or harshness. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and all matter of service. And all the service that made them serve with rigor. And so when you abuse authority and you're harsh, it produces bitterness. Produces bitterness. Produces anger will produce bitterness. Anger is an expression because anger and anguish are closely related words. And anguish, synonym for anguish is bitterness. Now Jerry spoke from Matthew 5:22. I want to go over this bit briefly and say that she gave you an excellent demonstration. And I'd like to say to the people who hear this tape that they should get her tape because it was an excellent. And it says here in 522, it says, "But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, is in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And all those things, that's one following another, progression of anger. It'll produce bitterness. Therefore, if you bring your guilt, your gift to the altar, and remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. Be first reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly, lest so you're on your way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and your judge hang you over the officer, and you be thrown into prison, namely God's jailhouse. You stay mad and unforgiving. Matthew 18:34 says you're going to wind up in God's jailhouse. You wind up with the torture, the tormentors of God's jailhouse, depending on which translation you're reading. The New International says God's jailhouse. Whatever it is, the place you don't want to be. And anger, the strong emotion, anger, bitterness, and rebellion all run together. And they will put you in jail. In spiritual jail. And rebellion and bitterness. And when you're rebellious and bitter, it opens you to lust. What is lust? It's the strong desire for that which is forbidden. You don't want to stay under the controls. And so you can get angry with God over his provision for you, his call. Lord, I don't want to be a deliverance minister. Lord, I want to be an evangelist and be in the spotlight. I want to be in the big time, Lord, with the television. I don't want to be out there carrying everything out, carrying all the garbage out of the dung gate. I want to go through the Jerusalem gate, the water gate, the beautiful gate. I don't like this call. Well, you're in the UK, and you have people that just get really unhappy because God has blessed someone else one way and you another. But the call of God is without repentance. Who are you, old man, to question God? Who are you to question God? Now, folks say, I don't like, he ain't going to be my God. Who are you to question God? He ain't going to be your God. He's the boss of the universe. He's in control of everything, whether you acknowledge him or not. How dare you question him? Hallelujah. But people get bitter over it. They get angry because of their mate. They don't like this mate. They're married and they see somebody over here they like better. They get bitter over it. They get bitter over their finances, over their job. They get bitter with their children because they're trying to control their children by witchcraft. They got grown children, and they want them to do this and go here and do that. And the children got a right to make their own decisions. They're grown. But these people become bitter with their kids. You know, I did some genealogy research, and I have some relatives that from Illinois. And I went up there, and I asked, well, where's the old family home? And they said, it's over there. And it was a pile of rotten timbers and tin, galvanized metal, sitting over there in the middle of this field. I said, well, what happened to it? Well, it rotted down. I said, what? I said, what happened? And she said, we're getting a car. Let's go for a ride. I'll show you the thing. He said, well, you know, great-grandfather, He was in the German Reform, and then when his brother got a divorce, they kicked him out, and so he went with the United Brethren, which is a Methodist church that spoke German. And he gave him 10 acres of land down there and founded his own church. And it was mostly his family in the church, and mostly he supported it. And his older boy liked the Presbyterian church on the other side of the place. And so he took his family and went to the Presbyterian Church. That's my great-grandfather. And their bitterness sprung up. They did not speak to each other for 25 years. And when the old man died, he bought the lot property and let the house rot down. Control his child. Wanted his child to go to his church. Child went to the other church. Bitterness sprang in there. And you can look at the photographs. I've got a photograph of him taken in 1908. And he's sitting up there like this. And his wife with him. And his sister. His old maid sister, whose husband was killed in the Civil War. Her fiancé was killed and she never married. And they're sitting there like this, just staring, angry, bitter people. And around him are all his children, or his son, and all of his grandchildren. Must be 50 people in this picture, but the old man, you can tell he is angry and mad. His name was Israel. His father's name was Christian. But he was bitter because his child couldn't control which church his child went to. Not the fact that his child was, and all the children looked at these two men and said, if that's what Christianity is, we don't want anything to do with it. And the Masons became their church. All the boys went to the Masons. Praise your Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we'll go back now. I just want to show you that bitterness can defile you, can defile your family, can interfere with your prayers. It can bring you into a place where God is in opposition to you. And so bitterness is something you want to get rid of. Now, let's look. Remember the verse I gave you? An evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent to him. That's an evil angel. And I call him the coach because he coaches you in bitterness, rebellion, to keep you rebellious and bitter and away from God. Are there any examples of that in Scripture? Well, yes. Let's look I talked to you about Judges 9:23. And I talked to you about 1 Samuel 16:4. The first one was an evil spirit that came between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Another evil spirit came on Saul, and Saul became insanely jealous. Well, let's look now at Acts, a Christian. Let's look at a Christian, Acts 8. A Christian, Acts 8. All right, Acts 8, 9 through 23. There was a certain man called Simon who'd previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And so he was proud. And they heeded him because he'd long astonished them with his sorceries or magic arts for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, there we have a statement saying that Simon the sorcerer became saved and was baptized. And he moved along with Stephen. And he watched Stephen. And he was amazed at the powers, that the supernatural power manifested in Stephen's life. Just amazed. Okay, now, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, here we have a professional sorcerer, says he watched them lay hands on them, and he said, they have imparted supernatural power to them. And his coach said to him, his evil spirit, his coach came down, and he said to him, yes, Simon, you need that supernatural power. But what the coach said to him, he said it in the first person. I need that power. Why can't I have that power like I had when I was called the Great One? Why, if I can get that power, I can be the head man in the church. And everybody will look up to me again, and I will be the Great One of God. And Simon agreed. He said, yeah, yeah. And he agreed. Now, hold your finger there, and let's go over here and look at James. Now, we'll come back to Acts in a minute, but let's go over and look at James. God, just quicken the verse to me. James 1, 14. Let no one say he's tempted. When he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, enticed. And when his desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. What happened was, Simon had the desire in his heart to be great. And as he watched that happen, the coach began to talk to him. And he agreed with the coach. And it conceived sin in him. Now let's see what Peter says to him. Verse 19. Give me this power or authority. Actually, the word there is not dunamis, but exousia. Give me this authority also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I can see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity or rebellion. And Simon said, pray for me that these things won't happen. You pray for me. I'm not going to repent. You pray for me. You fast. You pray for me and cast these things out of me. How many folks tell you that? You do all the work. I'm going to get in the healing line and come up, and you just cast them out of me. I'm not going to repent or anything. You do all the work. You pray for me. Praise God. That's frequently what you see with professional sorcerers and professional crooks. And here we have the coach has talked to him. Can you see how that works? The coach, the evil spirit, comes down and puts thoughts in their mind. And he puts them in the first person. So that you think you're thinking it yourself. That you think you're thinking it yourself. But it's actually a demon speaking to you, pushing thoughts into your mind. Remember that the devil put in the heart of Judas Iscariot the thought to betray Jesus Christ. Okay? And he sends that coach down. Now, how many times have you talked to somebody, one of your people that you're counseling, and you explain something to them, and they go over and sit down, or they go over and do something, they come back in about 45 minutes, and they got the cockeyedest notions to argue with you about it. I mean, they walked away, you thought they understood perfectly, they agreed with you. Now they come back, and man, they are off the wall. What's happened? The coach has been talking to them. The demon has talked to them. The demon has given them reasons. I remember we had a lady that I worked with, and, quote, God had told her that she was a prophet. And she told her pastor that I'd be a prophet. And God's given me a word for the church. I'm going to give you part of it. And when you do that, I'll give you the rest. Pastor called me and said, what do you think? I said, I think Jezebel is what I think. He said, you got anything written on Jezebel? I said, well, yeah, I got Chris Simpson's book on Jezebel. And I got Steve Bell's book on Jezebel. I'll bring them over to you. And so they read them and said, you know, she fits that picture perfectly. And so they gathered all the elders and the leaders of the church together, and they confronted this lady, and they went over it with her, and she said yes. And she got out on her knees, and she asked for forgiveness. She asked God to cleanse her. She asked God to free her from this spirit. She confessed all this as sin, and so she got home. And on the way home, the coach began to talk to her. Said, you know, honey, you're going to lose your ministry. Said, you know, what she said to him is, I'm going to lose my ministry. Well, I'm not going to be able to give words in church anymore. Well, I'm not going to be able to pray for people anymore. I'm not going to be able to minister to people anymore. I'm going to tell people I've been deceived. That there's been a demon I've been talking to and not the Holy Spirit. Well, they put witchcraft on me. That's what they did to me. They put witchcraft on me. And that's a demon. And she said, yeah, that's what happened to me. That's what happened. And so the coach coached her. And so when she called back, I mean, she was off the wall, man. She was off the wall. But she had, she left this church. And, praise God, God showed me what was going to happen, and it has partially come to pass, and I'm sure the rest of it will come to pass. It is not a pretty end, because the coach is still talking to her. She's been in mental hospitals twice now, and coach, the Lord showed me that, and he also showed me the end. The end is not pretty. She had, I don't want to go too much in detail, because then people will be, hear the tape, will know who I'm talking about, and I just, praise God. But that's the coach. Now, you say, well, that's for them folks that are really having problems. I don't have no problem with no coach. Well, I do. You know, here we go again now. Let's look at this thing. You get rejected, and you're alone, and you've had failure, and you become rebellious, you become unteachable, pride swells up, you have self-will, self-stubbornness, dejection. Over here you have fantasy lust and perverseness. And maybe your coach is one of fantasy. And you're riding down the road and you're watching you and you're listening to your tapes. And you're listening to the Bible tapes on the car, you know, and you've listened for about 6 hours, you know, and your head is spinning, you know, and you cut the tapes off and you just won't be quiet for a little while. And your mind begins to, quote, drift. And your fantasy comes in. That fantasy coach sits down. And he tells you, you begin to daydream about what you should have said to that person who hurt you 10 years ago. Or how you should have handled that 10 years ago. If only you'd done this. Or if, for years, my God was a dollar bill. Before I got saved, that was my God. Greed was my motivating factor. And even today, when I'm driving down the road, the fantasy coach will slide on my shoulder and said, you know, I told you to buy a McDonald's in 1960. Why didn't you buy it? Why, man, if you'd bought that, that's gone up $1,000 a share. But he comes, he speaks it in the first person. And if you allow him to go on, he will tell you what wonderful, you will say what wonderful things you could have done for God. And how God could have used you got all that money. And then how your family would have really, and how people would really look up to you because you're so small and you have so much money and your eyes are so bright and your tail is so bushy. Okay? That's the fantasy coach. You people ever have any problem like that? Huh? I mean, you know, you have ever. You don't. I don't ask you to hold up your hands. I tell you, I have. I bind him. But if I'm not careful, when I'm tired, it just sort of creeps in, and you fall back into that old pattern, and it just goes. But the thing about it is, it just doesn't stop there. And the first thing you know, you'll see that. Coors Light commercial up there on the billboards, you know. You know that one with that little scanty haired girl who's holding that can of Coors Light, you know, and she ain't got much on. And that fantasy will shift a little bit. Got a little bit. And then you're into fantasy lust if you ain't careful. Any boys ever had that problem? That's the coach. Oh. And you can go on and on and on and on. I tell you, people, that evil angel sent down is the coach. And he coaches you in your rejection. And you can build a covering. You can build a covering that's not of God's Spirit. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 30. Gosh, we're getting far afield here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, or who make a covering but not of me. Who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans or make a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk down to the world and have not asked my advice. Remember how we said the whole world system lies in the lap of the evil one. To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, the devil, and to trust in the shadow of the world. Therefore, the strength of the devil shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of the world shall be your humiliation. But you note there that you make a covering that is not of my spirit. Now, that in the Hebrew means literally to weave a spider web. See, you're supposed to be covered by the wing of God. You're supposed to be under God's covering. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under your wings, his wings you shall take refuge. So you're supposed to be under the wings of God, under the covering of God. Not under a spider web that's got holes in it. The devil can take your sword and stick down in there and wound you. The evil angel can come and build these, spin these false coverings for you. You know, one of the signs of witchcraft is spider webs. Did you know that? Yeah. One of the signs of witchcraft is spider webs. It says, weave a spider web. Rebellion is like witchcraft. The coach will come and weave that web for you. A covering that's not of God. You've been rejected. You should stand under the covering of God as a child of God, as an adopted child of God. You should ask for God's advice and stand in his strength, not in the strength of the world. Because the evil angel will come and he'll build a covering for you, a covering of money. See, my covering was money. I thought if I just made enough money, everybody would respect me, then I could buy everything I needed. The only problem was that the devil cut a hole in the bottom of the sack, you know, and I had this shovel, I was shoveling it in, but the devil just made the hole bigger, and it just all ran out. So other folks, they're so stingy, you know, they shovel in this sack and keep it there, and they're scared to spend it. That's called being a miser. I was a spendthrift. But that was my covering. Wasn't a very good covering. The evil angel kept telling me, if I'd only made another $100 a week, all my problems would be over. How many of y'all ever said that, huh? How many of y'all ever said, if I just had another $100 a week or another $500 a month, it'd just end all my problems? Under the covering. You got that's the coach talking to you. I want you to get the concept that when you're in rebellion, that evil angel comes and he talks to you. And he talks to you in the first person that you have to take every thought captive. When you have a thought come in your mind, you say, is this of God? Well, if it's about you know how you can make another $100 to solve your problems, there ain't a God. You say, well, did I think of this? No, I didn't think of where to come from. And it came from the coach. The evil angel that the devil has sent to cause you problems, to bring you in to sin, to open the door. Let more people in. I won't try to go into all of this. I can, but it'd take another 4 or 5 hours, and we don't have that kind of time. The main thing I want you to see is that rebellion is the outward sign of an inward sign of rejection. And out of rebellion comes a root of bitterness. And out of bitterness comes resentment, unforgiveness, recall, always remembering it. Anger, murder, revenge, retaliation. What can I do to get even? And you know the old saying, don't get mad, get even. My dear sainted mother was part Choctaw Indian. And she said, Indians don't ever forget or forgive, Billy. They get even. She died bad arthritis. I tried to talk to her about it after I got saved. That's another story. Praise God. You look at the rest of it there. So what do you do? What do you do?
How many of y'all ever been hurt? Hurt by your parents. Rejected by your parents. Rejected by people. And when you see them, you get angry. Or you get frustrated. Or something in you, you know, begins to hurt. Then you know that that root is still down in there. How many of you have been in business deals, and when you think about it, you're, oh, God. How many of you have had people say ugly things to you or attacked you? Yeah, I took them through deliverance. I worked, and we prayed, and we sat up all night. And they went home, and they talked to their pastor, and they called me and told me I was the disciple of the devil. And I just worked for them and prayed for them. And then they got out and they talked about me. And when you see that person, you have, you know, there's something, you know, you just, something's wrong. You need to forgive. You need to give up revenge. Remember, it says, you know, unforgiveness, forgiveness is giving up the right to revenge, the right to retaliate. That's all forgiveness is. Someone once said that to me that forgiveness was a willingness to live with results of someone else's sin and not seek retaliation. That's okay, but the practical matter is you're going to live with the results of their sin whether you like it or not. You can't change it. You got to live with the results of it. It's just whether or not you're going to give up the right to revenge. Because God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. In three places, God says, vengeance is mine. And he don't give you the right to vengeance. He gives you the right to forgiveness. He gives you repentance. He grants you forgiveness. He grants you repentance. But he don't grant you revenge. He said, that's mine. You want revenge, you're stealing from God. You're a wicked person. You're a thief. You're a wicked person. By scriptural definition. You have iniquity in you. The coach will come and talk to you. And so you need to repent of revenge. Repent of revengeful thoughts. And ask God to bless them. You know, Matthew 5:43 says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you and have spitefully used you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father who's in heaven. Next is children of your Father who's in heaven. And so you have to do that. And so, first you have to forgive the hurt. Second, you've got to break the curses for the idolatry of the false covering. What kind of covering, what kind of web did you let the coach weave for you? Was it wanting money? Or was it to be famous? Or to have a promotion? I mean, what kind of covering did you take? What kind of covering did you depend on? That's your shame and your humiliation. You need to break the curse. That's idolatry. And you need to break the curse of the false covering that you hid under. Because if you hide in the covering of God, you'll forgive. And so you need to break the curse of the false covering because it's idolatry. Jerry talked about there being gates. I talk about there being spider holes. The same thing. You've got to go back and break the curse to close up the holes in the covering because you've been in idolatry. Then you got to break ungodly soul ties that you've formed. Got to call back your soul. Psalm 23 says he leads you in green pastures by still waters and restores your soul. Call back your soul. Release the ungodly soul within you. Let it go. Whatever the devil has put in there to take the place of your soul as he has put the gates in there and tried to fuse your spirit and soul together and taken part of your soul out. You know you can lose your soul by witchcraft. You know that? Now most folks have a hard time with it. I don't have a hard time with it. I was raised very close to the witch doctor, the hoodoo. Extract part of your soul and put it in a bottle. Now that is strange and foreign to my scientifically trained mind, but I know it can be done. I don't know how. I don't ask God. It's done by demons. I don't need to know how, but it's done by demons. But I know this. God can send the war angels and break the containers and bring it back and restore your soul. The soul can be fragmented. It says a lion is thrown, and then you cast out the demon. So you ask, you forgive, repent from revenge. You repent of the false covering, the idolatry of the false covering. Destroy the gate, destroy the spider web. Break the soul ties. Call back your soul and cast out the demon. And learn to rebuke the coach. Because the coach is not necessarily inside you. He can be, but he can sit on your shoulder too. And when you bind him, I told y'all earlier today about the long line I saw, and they were just one stepping right up after the other, and then you never broke a stride. But you bind him, and you keep on binding, and you bind. For the keys to the kingdom of God is loosening and binding. And what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You want that? Then learn to bind and loose. Bind the devil. He says that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That word translated destroy is the same word translated loose. Same word. He came to loose you from the works of the devil. Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. He came to loose you from the power of the enemy and the evil angels, the coaches. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all have been sitting for 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's time to get up, and since the brain can only absorb, but the fanny can endure. Hallelujah. It's time to get up and jump up and down a little bit. And praise God. Hallelujah. This is a statement of who you are in Jesus Christ. I really think that one of the most important weapons that you have next to the blood is to know who you are. And we need to pray that God will give you a spiritual revelation of who you are. That's a different from a mental revelation. A spiritual revelation to know that you are a child of the living God. That God is your Father. Jesus Christ is your big brother. The revelation God gave me was that God was my Father. And I had a big brother, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he'd run the bullies off. You know, when I was little, when I went to school, I was a couple of years ahead in class, and I was already small anyway. And I was always the smallest one. I was resented by the older boys because they resented me because I was advanced and so forth, and they used to pick on me. And I had to make allegiances with other big boys to protect me. And I had to do what they told me to. And I had to sort of always try to be their friend. And I found out when I got saved that God was my Father, and I had a big brother, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he would run off the bullies, and I didn't have to suck up to anybody. That Jesus Christ, if I stayed and was obedient to my Father, that my big brother would be there and he would run the bullies off. And the bullies couldn't touch me. They couldn't get past him because he was big and he was strong. And he gave me the authority to invoke his name so that these bullies ran in fear.
Hallelujah.
Because they were afraid of what he'd do to them. He had authority over them. And he has authority over all the power of the enemy. And he has exalted me to sit with him in the third heaven, high above all principality and power. And I mean, you need a spiritual revelation of that. Not a mental agreement, but you need to pray and ask God to give you a spiritual revelation that you know him in your heart, and no demon in hell can ever convince you that you are not. Just like your salvation. If you ever question your salvation, you say, if you get the question, well, I'm really saved, now, you didn't have a spiritual experience, see? And when you come to know
that you, God is your father and Jesus is your big brother, and he is out to protect you and tie a can on the devil's tail when he comes around you, as long as you're in obedience. For he says, if you will obey the heed, the voice of your father, the blessings will come down and overtake you. But if you don't heed it, that something else is going to come down. The coach is going to come to see you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And so I gave you this. I want you to study it, look up the scriptures, memorize it, and pray and say, God, make it real to me. Make it real to me, God. Make it real to me. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. I want to lead you all in a prayer. Say, dear Lord,
dear Lord,
I love you.
I believe
Jesus Christ
is the Son of
God. He was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross for my sin. Was resurrected on the third day. Ascended into heaven for my justification. Sits on the right hand of the Father. You ever make intercession for me? God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a member of the Beloved. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I'll never be rejected again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am a coveted child. Blood bought. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I repent of idolatry, of stubbornness, of bitterness, of rebellion. In the name of Jesus, I repent of all the sins of my ancestors. I ask forgiveness of the blood of Jesus. And I ask that the curse be broken on me and my children forever. For Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. I now forgive and repent from revenge to anyone who's ever hurt me, abused me, stolen from me in any way. I forgive them. Lord Jesus, if there's anyone I need to name particularly, show me now. We just wait a minute. If God brings anybody's name, you say it out loud under your breath. Lord Jesus, I repent of the false coverings I have used to cover my rejection. I ask forgiveness. I confess it as idolatry. I ask you to break the curse on me. Remove the gates. Call back my soul. I break all evil soul ties. I release any foreign soul from me. I ask restoration according to Psalms 23. Green pastures, still waters, restoration of my soul. Make me the child of God you envisioned before the foundation of the earth. Now, spirit of bitterness, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you. And I command you to leave. Spirit of rebellion. Spirit of rejection. I bind you. And I command you to be gone. In the name of Jesus. I am not a rejected child. I'm a child of God. Be gone out of my life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, now rejection, just leave. All these people, all rejection, all rebellion, all bitterness,
Bitterness, come out now in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness now in the name of Jesus. I just pull out the root of bitterness. I pull out the knife of betrayal. I pull out the bitter arrows. The arrows, the bitter arrows have been fired into their hearts and wounded their spirits. I pull them out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull them out. I speak healing and restitution to these people. Touch them now, Lord God. Touch them, Lord. Come on out. Come on out. We bind you. We bind your bitterness. You can't stay there. Come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness, all unforgiveness, all anger, rage, and retaliation, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Just be gone. All delusion, all fantasy, go in the name of Jesus. All greed, all fantasy, spirits of fantasy, fantasy lust, be gone in the name of Jesus. All fantasy, I break your power. I break your power of fantasy. In the name of Jesus, all if only spirits, all spirits, if only you'd done this, if only you'd done that. Come out in the name of Jesus, all if only spirits, I break your power now. I break your power and I say, come out, leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. All get even spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All get even spirits, all spirits of retaliation, of sharpness of words, of bitter words, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All spirits of critical spirits, come out now. All spirits of criticism, I break your power. I break your power. Leave God's people now. Don't you tear them. You just come out of them in the name of Jesus. Just come out. Come out. All spirits of disappointment and shame. The strength of Pharaoh shall be your humiliation. The world shall be your shame. Come out. Shame and humiliation. All spirits of shame and failure. Oh, after such a failure, I shame the family. Come out, shame, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. You're not shame. Shame. Come out, shame. Come out, public shame, private shame. All of you, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Just be gone. All shame in the name of Jesus. Be gone, shame. Retaliation, humiliation, come out. Come out, humiliation. All spirits of humiliation come out in the name of Jesus. I bind your humiliation. I bind the spirits of humiliation and shame and public embarrassment. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Embarrassing spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All put down spirits in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. All little me spirits, poor me spirits, come out. All spirits of deep hurt and poor me, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Come out. I break your power now. I break your power. All spirits of rejection, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, come on out, rejection. You can't stay there anymore. Leave God's people now. Come on out, rejection. All spirits of rejection, we break your power. We say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of sexual fantasy, come out in the name of Jesus. Now, I bind infirmity spirits. I bind infirmity spirits that goes with bitterness. I bind arthritis. Spirits of arthritis, come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Spirits of cancer, come out in the name of Jesus. All destroying spirits, come out. Spirits of death, come out. Death spirits, come out. Suicide, depression, come out of there. Suicide, depression, and death. I break your power. I break your power. I bind you and I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, go. Suicide, death, depression, illness, come out. In the name of Jesus, despondency, come out. In the name of Jesus, come on out. Out, every bit of you. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. Every bit of you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Despondent spirits. Spirits of failure, come out. Failure. Spirits that let your family down, come out. Come on out. 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 You keep tormenting spirits. All tormenting spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of high blood pressure, come out. All high blood pressure, come out in the name of Jesus. All strokes and heart attacks, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. All spirits of migraine headaches. Migraine headaches, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people. I break the power of a migraine in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of the tension headaches. I break the power of the histamine headaches. I break the power. Go, headaches, go.
All spirits of sinusitis and allergy, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Allergy spirits, asthma spirits, go. Infirmity, go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of gingivitis, go. All spirits of bad teeth, go. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. All spirits of stroke and heart attack, go. All spirits of encephalitis, go. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of stomach aches, go. Come out. Stomach aches, come out. All spirits of pain from surgery, come out. All spirits of pain from surgery. All spirits of uncomfort from surgery. All spirits of myelomas and neuromas, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, pain, sorrow, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bladder problems, I bind the bladder problems in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all kidney infections, bladder infections, all chlamydia in the name of Jesus. Come out. All human papillomaviruses, come out. Come out. Come out.
All gonorrhea.
Come out. All urethritis, come out. Come out. Come against the spirits of arthritis and myositis in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I bind you. Come out. All spirits of weariness, thyroid problems, come out. All spirits of diabetes, come out. I break the power of diabetes. I break the power of diabetic retinopathy. Come out. Come out. All of you, all you sick spirits, come out, all these people. These are God's people. Jesus Christ bore all their infirmities, all their sorrows, all their sickness, all their pain. By stripes they've been healed. I break your power of viruses. I break the power of hepatitis. I break the power of stomach. I break the power of colon. I break the power of Crohn's disease. Go! All of you, go! 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 Go, everybody! Go in the name of Jesus! Get out! Get out, all sickness! Come out! Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ! Come out in the name of Jesus.
Did you see anybody that needs help? And you can help them?
Praise your name, Lord. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bind the spirits of pneumonia, of emphysema, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of heart attacks. I bind the spirits of congestive heart failure. I bind the spirits of cancer. Come out in the name of Jesus. Cancer of the lung, cancer of the colon, cancer of the breast, cancer of the cervix, come out. Cancer of the prostate, come out. Be gone. All cancer spirits. I bind you, cancer. I break your authority. Come out. Hallelujah. Praise your name.
Lord Jesus, touch your people now, Lord. Touch them. Touch them with healing. Let your healing spirit flow out. Flow out, Lord.
Lord Jesus, flow over. Let the healing grace flow down, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Let your healing spirit flow down to your people. Touch all the hurt places, Lord. I bind, oh God, I bind the wounded spirits now. Lord, I ask that the healing balm of Gilead descend, Lord Jesus, and touch the wounded spirits, Lord God. Those people who've been wounded in battle, Lord. They've been in battle and they've been wounded in the name of Jesus. They've been wounded by loved ones in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Praise your name, Lord. Everybody hold up their hands now. Oh, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness, Lord God.
Praise your name, Lord God. Fill us now, Lord, with your spirit. Fill us with your spirit, Lord God. Fill us full, Lord Jesus. Heal us now, Lord. We go forth, Lord, to do your battle. We're your battle axe. We thank you and we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Now grant us a good night's sleep, Lord. We bind any harassing spirits in the name of Jesus.
We thank you and we praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name. All God's folks said. Bless them and keep them, Lord. And I'll see you all 6 o'clock in the morning for prayer meeting.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.